Welcome to Currytown Baptist Church. We are excited you are here to worship with us today. If this is your first time here, we consider you our special guest. You should have received a connection card in the welcome packet you received from the Welcome Center when you arrived. Please take a moment to complete this connection card. You can drop it off at the welcome desk at the end of service and receive a free gift. If you are a first-time guest and did not receive a welcome packet, please see one of our ushers in the burgundy jackets. Our ushers are here to help welcome you and make certain you find your way around the church campus. These gentlemen are happy to help you find our children's ministries and nurseries as well. Joy Church on Sunday mornings is for children 4 years to sixth grade and is located in the Fellowship Hall. This ministry allows us to present Bible truths in a fun preaching and learning environment for children. During every service, we have a staff nursery to provide your young ones a safe and loving environment to enjoy. Sunday morning, there are two nurseries. One for infants ages newborn to 2 years, and another for toddlers ages 2 to 4 years old. Thank you again for joining us. We look forward to worshiping together with you.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us tonight on this midweek service. It is good to be back in the house of God. So, again, unusual times for us, but we're glad to be with you. Thank you for tuning in by way of internet and also through our call-in system. And we're looking forward to what God has for us. So we're going to pray, have a song from the choir, and then have a special song from one of our singers, and then we'll get right into the message today. Father, we love you, and we thank you again for your grace and mercy. We ask you, Lord, to meet with us here tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. And I pray tonight that I would be a help to your people. Speak to us through your word tonight. Use the singing to encourage our hearts, and may everything that's done here tonight honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Think of all the many times I've been spared pain and misery. Even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. And though I've had my share of troubles, I must confess to this reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me. Faithful to your promise, you cleanse the stain the sin had left behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly. Assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. Lord, you've been good to me.
Praise As love passed me by, until the Master heard my heart's cry. Grace, marvelous grace, I needed grace to pardon and make me whole. Grace, marvelous grace. I was downhearted, broken inside, praying for mercy with nowhere to hide. There was a solace searching for me, grace ever flowing that set my soul free. Grace, marvelous.
Appreciate the good singing this evening, and I sure am glad that we can experience the grace of God. If you would, turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus 3 tonight. Again, we appreciate you tuning in to this midweek service, and it's hard to believe that we're into the month of April, and boy, this year's going by fast. And so let's pray that this coronavirus pandemic will bypass us, and we won't have to do this all month, but if we do, we'll be here, and we want to be a blessing to you, and appreciate our sound guys being faithful coming, Brother Jimmy being here to be an encouragement, and again, we want to be an encouragement to you, so if there's anything we can do to help you, let us know, and we appreciate the opportunity. So Exodus chapter number 3 tonight, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you'd add a blessing to the reading of the Word of God tonight. And Lord, we thank you again for those that have tuned in. We pray, God, that we'd be a help to them and a blessing. And Lord, that you just speak to our hearts tonight. And we thank you for all you do for us. And we thank you for your marvelous grace, as we just heard sung about. And Lord, for all things done, we pray that it would honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach on this thought tonight, the divine direction in the desert. Now, Moses, you know this, grew up in Egypt, but he was exiled for standing up for his people. And his life was going well. If we think about it, he grew up in Egypt. He was Pharaoh's son and was in the house there and had plenty of riches and plenty of popularity. But the fact is, he was comfortable, and God would disrupt his comfort so he could use him for his purpose. Now, I want you to put yourself in that position tonight as we look at our situation. We are born and we live in the greatest country that's ever dawned the face of the earth. We are comfortable. As we look at our churches, we're comfortable. We have padded pews. We have air conditioning. We have media. We have all these things, and for a long time, we've lived in comfort. And so maybe what God's doing now is trying to do with us what he did to Moses, to get us out of our comfort zone so that he can use us in a greater way. And so Moses was given divine direction in the desert of disaster. So as we look at Moses' life, we realize that he was in Egypt, that he was exiled. He was here in Midian. He was tending sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. And sometimes we have to be on the backside of the desert, where when we're by ourselves, where we're isolated, before we can hear the voice of God. And so I'll give you four or five things here tonight on the life of Moses and how God used him. But I want you to put yourself where Moses is at. And I know that in the past few weeks, and maybe in the next few weeks going forward, there we are isolated many times from our church family and our friends. And much like Moses, we'll look at this place being a desert place, a place of barrenness, a place of dryness. But I want to say this, in those times of life is when God can really do something supernatural in our life. And so we see that in the life of Moses here. And I'll share with you, first of all, in verse 1, that backside of the desert, there was a proving that was taking place. The Bible said, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And so let's think about this for a minute. When we look at the life of Moses, he was saved. Now, I know we look at it and say, well, he's not saved like we were. But you realize that the name Moses means this, saved from the water. Saved from the water. And so think about the life of Moses when he was a baby, so that he was not killed by the Egyptians. His mother put him in a river, and he floated down the river. He was saved by water. And then we see as he floated down there, he was saved by Pharaoh's daughter. And then he was saved from Egypt through his trials. No doubt Moses probably would not have chosen to leave Egypt, but God had put some circumstances in his life that caused him to be put where God wanted him. Now, you know, Moses said things like this, like we say oftentimes, that he would choose to suffer affliction with God's people than to be in Egypt. And you know what? He had to be removed from Egypt before God could use him. And so maybe in this time that we're facing, it is God separating us from the world. And I'm not talking about a physical separation, but look at our lifestyle. The average Christian, the average church has allowed the world to infiltrate their lives. And if we were honest tonight, the church looks more like the world than the world looks like the church. And so maybe this is God severing those ties with the world so that he can get us by ourselves and speak to us. And so he was saved. But also I see here in this time of proving that he was shepherding. Hey, you know what our danger is in this time? That we would sit in our houses, stay on the internet, read magazines, watch TV, and not spend any time in the Word of God. I see what Moses was doing. He was on the backside of the desert. He could have had the pooch mouth, amen. He could have looked and said, you know what? I don't have money. I don't have popularity. I've been kicked out of Pharaoh's house. I'm on the backside of the desert. Matter of fact, I'm not even tending my own sheep. I'm shepherding another man's sheep. Now, you can get like that if you want to, and you can look at your circumstance and say, well, things are not exactly like I want it. Or you and I can get busy doing something for God. He was shepherding. He wasn't sulking. He was shepherding. He wasn't pouting. He was proving. He watched another man's flock, and God was preparing him for a nation of people by training him with a small flock of animals. Now, you may be in a place in your life right now that you don't understand God. And you may be in a place now where you think, man, I'm not doing what I want to do. But maybe God's got you in some proving ground. Maybe God's got you in some training. Maybe he's got me in some training tonight that we would look and say, I must fully rely on God. We can't figure it out. We can't, in our own intellect and our own power, get things on the right track. Maybe it's that you and I need to be on the backside of the desert, just like Moses, to see the power of God in our lives. And so don't look at your situation where we are tonight and say, woe is me, but let's look at it as a proving ground, just like Moses did. Number two, not only that was there a proving, there was a place. Amen. Hey, you know what? Revival takes place at a place. And I'm not talking about necessarily a building, but I'm talking about at the place of Calvary. I'm talking about there's a specific place where you came in contact with God. And it may be at an altar. It may be at your dining room table. It may be in your basement, in your prayer closet. But I want you to think of the place where you meet with God or where God passed by your way. Here for Moses, it was on the backside of the desert. And so when we look at these names, and I believe the names in the Bible mean something, as Moses means saved by water, we look here at that place called Midian. Midian means a place of strife or struggle. So I see this place where Moses met God was a place of struggle. It was not a place of prosperity. It was not in Egypt where he met God. It was on the backside of the desert. And so maybe in your life you're struggling now and you're saying, where's God? Hey, may I say this? Just keep your eyes up. Keep laboring. Keep doing something for God. And just when you least expect him to show up, God may show up in your life. And so often it's through struggles and strife, let's be honest, that we pray the most, that we seek after the face of God. And not only that place was a place of struggle, I'm glad also it is a place to shine. Notice here, the Bible said he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Well, as we said earlier, and as you know, that the desert is a barren place. It is a dry place. It's a place where not much grows. But notice this, the Bible said, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So there in that desert place was a shining place. And that's what Horeb means. It means a place or to shine in the desert. So in the middle of the desert was a mountain. And may I say that in your life, when you're in the desert place, when you look to the left and right, and you see nothing but barrenness, I'm glad that there's a mountain there. It may be Calvary for you. Hallelujah. But I'm glad God put some places in our life where we can meet God, and there's a place in our life where it's a spiritual mountain where everything else around us is dry and desert. But there's a place, praise God, that is refreshing to us. It's a place where we can commune with God. And so here for Moses is that place of Horeb. Let me ask you this, what's that place in your life? What's that place in your desert where you can meet with God? It may be on the backside of the desert, but I sure am glad there's some mountaintop experiences in the backside of the desert. So I see that there was a proving that took place, but also see there was a place. Now, may I ask you tonight, this will be different for us all, where's that place where you commune with God? It may be at church, and I pray that it is. But what happens when you can't come to church? You better have a personal place, a solace place, a place for just you where you can meet with God, where you can hear from God. And so there was a proving and there was a place, but then in verses 2 through 5, there was a presence. The Bible said the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And so there was not only a place, there was a presence there. Now, if you've never experienced the presence of God, and I feel like you probably have at some point in your life, it is an experience that you'll never forget. And if you've ever experienced it, it's something that you long for, something that you never get over. And so here, I dare say, when Moses met the Lord on the backside of the desert, he never got over it. Hey, no doubt the rest of his life, the rest of his days as he walked the earth, he was desiring to get back to that place on the backside of the desert. Now, to the human eye, to the natural man, they'd say, we don't ever want to go to the backside of the desert. But friend, may I say, sometimes when that's all you got is God, hey, that's the sweetest time you'll ever have. And so Moses here, we see here that there was a presence, and that presence was the Lord himself. You see, it was a consuming presence. Now, in verse 2, the Bible said that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So it didn't consume the bush, but it sure did consume Moses. I'm glad, amen, that once you have that experience with God, and oftentimes, as we said, it happens in times of dryness and barrenness in our life, I'm glad that it consumes you. You never get over it. You never want to get over it. He said, yes, it's a consuming presence, because Moses, in verse 3, said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight and why the bush is not burnt. So here's Moses. Can you see? He's walking on the backside of the desert. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And by the way, let me say this. It's not always this emotional frenzy that people want. Sometimes it's just doing what we know we're supposed to do. See, Moses was a shepherd. His job was to watch the sheep. And I found in my life, and you probably have as well, that as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, it sets the stage for the presence of God. Now, I realize that there's been some great moves of God in our nation and around the world where God in a supernatural way showed up and changed people's lives. And I thank God for that. But I'm also thankful when God just shows up in the stillness of your prayer closet, maybe driving in your car, maybe reading your Bible, where the presence of God is so real and speaks to your heart and changes you and he consumes you. Hey, may I say, it's not in our natural man to want to be consumed with God. It is something supernatural that takes place. The natural man wants to run to Egypt. The supernatural man wants to stay in those dry desert places, because that's where he met God at, amen. And so he said this, I will turn aside. In other words, Moses was saying this, I'm going in this direction, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but something's going on over there. It consumed him. He had to go see what was going on. And may I say in your life, don't keep going down the same road when God's trying to do something in your life. Be willing to change your path to do what God wants you to do. No doubt Moses had a pretty good job shepherding, the Bible said here, for Jethro, his father-in-law. the priest of Midian. I don't know what he got paid, but that sounds like a pretty good job. He wasn't shepherding for some no-name. He was shepherding for his father-in-law, Jethro. And may I say, he was willing to throw all that aside to go with God. Now I want to ask you this, what are you willing to give up to go with God? You say, oh, preacher, this is not the time or place to talk about the will of God. Sure it is. I know where we are. I know that we're in the middle of a crisis, if you want to call it that. But God's still real, and God still has a work to do, and God's still wanting to do something with his people, but we have got to be consumed with the presence of God. I hope if anything good comes out of this, one of the things that comes out is God's people will appreciate the house of God again. Amen. Hey, when you can't go somewhere, it's a whole lot different than when you choose not to go somewhere. And so I'm praying that the first Sunday we walk back in this building, that we'll have some thankful people, and I believe we will. Amen. So it's a consuming presence, but then it is a comforting presence. Look at verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So that comforting present is this. What would cause others to fear caused him to be curious. Notice this. Now, if you put yourself in the shoes of Moses, you're walking through the desert, you look over to your left or to your right, and you see a bush that's burning, but it's not consumed. Now, do you think your natural inclination would be to run over to that bush and see what's going on, or would your natural inclination be to run away from it? Hey, I'll tell you what mine would be, it'd be to run away from it. But here, Moses saw something different, that it didn't concern him, it comforted him. He wasn't fearful. He wanted to go see and experience what was going on. So here, what would cause others to fear caused him to be curious. And then when he started walking, amen, when he started going in that direction, notice what the Lord said. He called him by name. Hey, I want to tell you something. That's comforting when the Lord knows your name. When he speaks to you personally, when he saved you from your sins, and you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. I'm glad that the presence of God for those that are walking with God is a comforting experience. And for those that aren't, it can be a very convicting experience. And so he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. You know what that is? That's willingness. That's submission. That's saying, God, I hear you and I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do. And so it's a comforting presence, but then it is a conforming presence. Look at verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. He said, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So here's what he told him. He said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to take your shoes off. See, he wasn't going to experience the presence of God unless he obeyed the word of God. That's good preaching. You're not going to experience the presence of God until you're willing to obey the word of God. And so oftentimes we're looking for this emotional frenzy of experience when we're not willing to do the very thing that God asked us to do. There's no way I don't think God would told Moses to go into Egypt and rescue his people if he would not obey this simple command of take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Now I want to ask you something. In your life, what's God asking you to do that's simple? See, we want the supernatural. We want God to put us in his will and do big things for the cause of Christ when we won't do the small things. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, study to show thyself approved. Pray without ceasing. Give and it shall be given to you. Those are three things, very basic, that any of us can do. To read our Bible, to pray, and to give. Now, if we're not willing to do the simple, basic things in life, why do we think God is going to trust us with the mysteries? So here's Moses, who put off his shoes, and if you want to see what God has in your life, you got to obey his word. Oh, but I read this article. I don't care about your article. Well, I watched this blog. Who cares about your blog? I watched this preacher on TV that said, doesn't matter what he said. What matters is the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. So therefore, unless we're following what God has to say, we can be deceived. But I feel this way. My heart is telling me, your heart, my heart is deceitfully wicked. So what I'm saying is, if you want divine direction in the backside of the desert, you've got to obey the simple things in the word of God before he's going to give you divine direction. So there was a presence, and then finally, there was a purpose. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Here we are in the middle of whatever this is. Call it a crisis, pandemic, call it a curse, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you call it, we are here, okay? So you have all these ideas, and I've seen them on the internet. This is God judging America, this, and it may be. I'm not God, and neither are the people that make that statement. But I do know this, as I study God's word, and I want to say this, I do believe America has rebelled against God. There's no way that you can have the number of babies being killed every year, we call an alternate lifestyle, God calls an abomination, that we're taking prayer out of schools, that we do not honor the word of God. And I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about society. We have those things going on where places that call themselves Christian, call themselves a church. So I'm not saying God's not judging. He very may well be. I'm saying I'm not God. It may be that God's doing that. It may be that God is trying to get our attention. It may be that God said, hey, church, it's time to wake up. Whatever it is, we are here today. Can we agree with that? So if we're here and we're in the back, on the back side of the desert, and there's a burning bush experience, can we agree tonight that it has a purpose? Sure we can. God does everything for a reason, right? So in verse 7, the Bible said, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. So verse 7, we see that God is knowing. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on today. This didn't take him by surprise. It's not like it snuck up on him. He knows your situation. He knows your trials, your tribulation. He knows your desert experience. He knows when you're on the backside of the desert. He knows. And so what is the purpose in this whole experience? You say, well, it was to teach Moses faith in God. I would agree with that. But here's what we do, Brother Jimmy. We look at it as a single purpose. In other words, what was God trying to show Moses? But maybe it's bigger than that. See, because it wasn't all about Moses. If Moses would have said no to God, guess what? He'd have chosen somebody else. So here we see that God had Moses experience the backside of the desert. In other words, he pulled him out of Egypt, put him on the backside of the desert. Part of it was for Moses, right? Then we see in verse 2, 3, and 4, and 5, where God gave Moses an experience of the presence of God. Often we call that very thing revival, right? So we see that. We see the presence of God. We see the place that God met with him. Then we see there's a proving that took place, but now we see the purpose in it all. God didn't do it just so Moses could run back to Midian and tell everybody, hey, guess what? We had revival on the backside of the desert, me and the sheep, amen. God met with us back there, hallelujah. We got on the mountaintop. See, that's the average Christian life. That's the average Christian experience. Look what God's done for me. But God had a bigger purpose, and that bigger purpose was this, to conquer. He wanted to conquer. Who did he want to conquer? In verse 8, the Bible said he came down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. So he heard their afflictions. He knew where they were at, and he had mercy on them, and he rescued them out of the hands of the Egyptians. He knew their oppressor was Pharaoh. He wanted to free his people from their affliction and their oppressor, and he had a place prepared for them. The Bible said in verse 8, he wanted to, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, God's saying, listen, I'm trying to take them out of bondage and I'm trying to give them this life here, but I need you to go do it. You ever thought maybe God has you on the backside of the desert and that you experience the presence and power of God in your life? Not so you can brag about it, not so you can beat on your chest and talk about the revivals of yesteryear, but that God has you in that place because there's somebody he wants to rescue out of bondage.
refuge. There's somebody he wants to rescue out of Egypt. There's somebody he wants to have that abundant Christian life, and he wants to use you to do it. You may be on the backside of the desert today. You may be in a place where it's barren and dry. You may question God in all this, saying, how could you let this happen to your children? But I want to tell you this, my friend. God will do what he has to do to accomplish his purpose and his will, and you and I can either get on board with it, or he'll go and do it somewhere else. So tonight we see that his purpose was to conquer, but it was also to commune. We'll go to verse 12. He said, certainly I will be with thee, talking to Moses. Well, that's good, isn't it? The promise of God, I'll be with you. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Notice this, he said, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So he says this, I'll be with you. Well, that's communing with the holy God. See, Moses probably would never have believed that if he wouldn't have seen God's power in the desert, in the dry time of his life. Then he says this, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. See, that mountain wasn't for bragging purposes. That mountaintop was for serving purposes. In your desert experience, when God raises up a mountain out of the midst of dryness and barrenness, and he shows himself faithful to you, and you experience that in such a supernatural way. It wasn't only for you, it was to bring others with you. And so tonight, as we look at our situation, our circumstance, where we are tonight, you can look at it two ways. You can pout, or you can look at it as a place of proving. You can fear, you can have faith. See, it's not the geography that we're in. It's whether or not God meets with us. And sometimes God's got to put us in a place we're uncomfortable before he's willing to show himself to us that he's faithful. Now, we know he's faithful, but we get our eyes off of things. We get our eyes on Egypt. We look at the glitz and glamour of Egypt. Say, man, I'd like to be in Egypt. Sometimes you got to get so far away from that where there's nothing but you and God. And that's when God gives us divine direction. Sometimes on the backside of the desert. And so I want to encourage you tonight, as we close, to look at your situation and not look at it as a burden, but maybe it's a blessing of God, that God's got you there because he's wanting to do something great with your life. But he's got to get your attention. We live in a world of distractions. We live in a world where everything catches our eye and our attention. Maybe this desert time is just a place where God can give us some divine direction if we're willing to listen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your love, and we're thankful for the desert. It may not be easy to see, but God, you want to do some great things with us. Maybe in this time you're proving us that we'll still trust you even when we don't understand. We may have to have a place where we meet with God. Maybe our prayer closet, maybe an altar. Wherever it is, may you take our mind back to the place where we first saw your power and presence. Lord, you have a purpose in all of this. We may not understand it, but may we trust you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for putting us in the desert when we need it. In Jesus' name we pray.